Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Previously On. Podcast series created to help you through some of the most complex yet brilliant television ever made. So from Game of Thrones, Peaky Blinders, Westworld, Big Little Lies, Stranger Things, Watchmen, Previously On, it's got it covered. Westworld Season 2, Episode 1, Journey into Night. We open in familiar territory. Dolores sits in a small glass-walled room across from Bernard. She appears happy and carefree. Bernard talks of a dream he had where he was adrift on an ocean, alone as the water rose around him. He tells her dreams have no meaning, and the thing that's real is that which is irreplaceable. But Dolores feels he's being dishonest. He confides in Dolores that her potential for growth and what she might become frightens him. We cut away to see Bernard undergo what appears to be a series of flashbacks. The moment he confronted Ford, the moment Dolores killed Ford, the face of Abernathy, and images that may be yet to pass, at least from the viewer's perspective. He questions, is this now? As he holds his head in his hands. We move to a beach. Bernard lies on the shore, waves wash over him. He wakes disorientated as a shout comes, we've got another one! A heavily armed woman called Mailing demands he gets to his feet, but she's stopped when Ashley approaches, recognises Bernard, and asks the woman if she's going to shoot the boss. Ashley, Bernard, Mailing, and a driver ride a dune buggy to a location further up the beach where a camp headquarters has been erected. Bernard sees hosts, including Rebus, being executed. He's met by a man introducing himself as Carl Strand, head of operations. Bernard questions the executions, but Strand brushes him off and adds a little side that some might actually think this is largely Bernard's fault. Ashley attempts to back Bernard, but is instantly shut down by Strand, who then talks about a search and rescue operation that's ongoing and also offers us a 2-week timescale since the slaughter at the gala that closed last season with a literal bang. En route to the park, Strand, Bernard, Mailing, a tech expert named Antoine Costa, and an extraction team come across a group of dead Ghost Nation warriors. Strand orders Costa to open the head of one of the Ghost Nation to see what happened. Removing the scalp, they see the maze, but are clueless to its meaning. Costa removes equipment from the head of the dead host and plugs it into a tablet. We see a recording of Dolores killing the warrior. Costa asks, isn't she supposed to be the cheery welcome wagon? They realise the hosts are displaying new capabilities previously considered impossible. As the group disperse, Bernard's hands begin to shake. He recalls the massacre at the gala. He's hiding in a barn alongside Hale and a few others as gunshots fill the air outside. Hale seeks assurance it's some sort of sick trick, but Bernard reveals the hosts are off their loops and on a new narrative. She asks about the guns, and Bernard believes Ford's changed the code so humans are now seen as hosts too, meaning they are able to be killed. Just outside the barn, Rebus and a few of his crew have a terrified female gala guest stood against the wall as they play a game of William Tell, with a bottle perched on her head and pot shots ripping through the barn walls, the same game that was being played during the gala when a gleeful guest accidentally shot and killed Rebus. Rebus himself takes aim and fires 3 bullets, killing the woman. The gang disperse into the night, leaving a petrified Hale alongside Bernard inside the barn. Hale says she needs to move, but another utterly terrified gala guest insists they stay holed up. A man steps forward asking Bernard where the nearest access post is. Bernard says it's about 2 miles away, and a decision is made to make a run for it.
At that moment, the barn door swings open. A young stable hand host enters and the humans panic. Despite Bernard saying he's no danger to them, the humans beat the stable boy before stabbing him with a pitchfork. Bernard falls during the fray and notices a strange transparent liquid leaking from his ear. Dawn breaks. The saloon piano kicks into life, playing the entertainer to a bar full of dead people and hosts. We see Dolores riding through the countryside, gunning down fleeing guests. Teddy rides alongside her. She captures and ties a guest, asking him if he knows where he is. "You're in a dream," she tells him. "You're in my dream." She moves to a woman on a makeshift gallows, asking the terrified lady what her drives are in life. The woman pleads that she doesn't want to die. Dolores agrees that survival is the human cornerstone, but it lives alongside a cruel desire to hurt and kill, hence Westworld. She explains she's torn about what to do, conflicted between Dolores and Wyatt after she was merged. She climbs onto a horse as mercy falls on deaf ears. "It doesn't look like anything to me," are her final words to the guests as she rides away, leaving them to their grisly fate. The streets of the town are littered with the dead. A single wolf walks among them. William, aka the Man in Black, emerges from beneath a body and takes in the scene. He finds his horse, telling it they're going to have some fun now. At that moment, a furious guest calls to him and begins to threaten lawyer action before being gunned down. William runs for cover. Two renegade hosts approach, firing at William, literally. He jumps from his hiding spot and kills one with a gun after grabbing the other, and then finishes the second host with his knife, and Will's fun has officially begun. He patches himself up in a nearby cabin, opens a chest and retrieves his classic Man in Black hat and other suitably shady garments. Deep in the slightly broken heart of the Messer Hub, Sizemore is scrabbling for his life as one of his own creations, a cannibal gold miner, closes in for lunch. The genuinely scary host grips Sizemore by the neck and opens wide just as Maeve walks in and puts the host into freeze mode. Sizemore is shocked to see it's Maeve who saved him. She explains that voice commands no longer work on the hosts, but adds that she killed herself multiple times to get the level of security clearance she currently enjoys. Sizemore asks if what has happened in the park is down to her. She says no, but she agrees with the actions. As Maeve leaves, Sizemore pleads with her to take him too. He books his place with news that Maeve's map is now outdated, but he can lead her to a current one. He leads the machine gun armed Maeve to the central control room where more bodies lie. "No one's in control," says Sizemore with unhidden alarm. With the power down, Maeve makes to leave. However, Sizemore insists he can still help and asks to see the paper with details of her daughter's location. The news that Maeve's searching for her surprises him, particularly the fact she even remembers. He talks of how Maeve's girl is not real, sparking her to threaten him with a gruesome death before informing him he's to lead her to where she is anyway. Out in the park, Bernard walks with Hale and a small group of survivors. They spot some technicians near a vehicle and run towards them, delighted that they're about to be saved. However, and there's always a however, Bernard becomes suspicious and pulls Hale back as the others run. Sure enough, the technicians are already dead and a host ambush is sprung. Hosts decked out in the robes of Wyatt's gang begin shooting and Angela rides into view. She toys with the humans, using them for sport and killing without mercy. Hale and Bernard slip away unseen. Maeve and Sizemore walk through the hub. She comes across a woman from the saloon in a bad way and uses voice commands relating to a deep and dreamless slumber to put her out of her misery. A security team rushes in. Maeve plays it cool as though she's human, but Sizemore gives a signal to her true nature. Before the team can act, they're distracted by a group of hosts opening fire. Maeve takes advantage and kills a few of the machine gunners. Sizemore basically melts like an ice cream on a hot horse. A cowboy points his gun at Maeve. She suggests it isn't her he wants and casts eyes at Sizemore before having a change of heart and sending the host off in another direction. Angry, Maeve tells Sizemore if he betrays her again, he'll be enjoying a meal of meat and two veg, throwing in a little dig about small portions for good measure. At a bar decorated in similar shades of carnage, Maeve finds Hector. They kiss. I'd say, aw, but you know, there's bodies everywhere. Back in the park, Hale has led Bernard to a hidden bunker buried beneath the ground. She pushes a button under a rock and a whole impressive structure lifts into view. Inside, Bernard has to touch a DNA profiling door handle and is surprised when he's granted access. He's then startled by a drone host, basically an exoskeleton-looking thing in white. Hale contacts HQ requesting extraction. Bernard watches as other drones collect DNA of guests. Hale reveals help is not coming until HQ first receive a specific host from the park, aka the base code Sizemore was supposed to take care of just before all hell broke loose. She keeps that fact a secret from Bernard, of course. William's riding alone through the park. He stops at a group of dead hosts and is surprised by the 10-year-old Ford appearing and asking him if he's lost. Ford the Younger explains William is in a new game where he has to find the door, and this game is meant for him. Ford begins to leave and William shoots him dead. Maeve repairs Hector. She orders Sizemore to change into some Westworld gear to play around with the game he's created. Dolores and Teddy talk about how he seems unsure of what's happening. Dolores describes how humans have controlled them and taken their minds and memories, but will do that no longer. She says Howie has been a constant. He asks her to leave with him and find a small corner for themselves, but Dolores tells him they would never survive. She talks about the bigger world beyond Westworld and how they've got to take that as well. They kiss despite wanting to conquer the human world. Oh. Angela arrives on horseback with the news, "We've found it." Dolores tells Teddy she needs him to see this, to see the truth. Hale reveals to Bernard they must extract Peter Abernathy before help will arrive. Bernard says he can use a host query that will send a cascading message throughout the park until Abernathy is located. As he begins work, Bernard notices he's been damaged in the early madness, and the fluid he's leaking could see him critically malfunction within the hour. It never rains for him, does it? Hale questions his shaking hand, but he plays it cool. With Hale's back turned, however, he locates a syringe, draws core fluid from a dead host, and tops himself up to fight another day. We move timelines now. Strand, Bernard, and a large group of security march through the town towards the saloon. Strand finds the decomposing corpse of Ford, asking if it jogs Bernard's memory at all. The group jump into dune buggies and head deeper into the park. They find a dead Bengal tiger host that has crossed borders between parks. Checking satellite data, it's noted that in the Western Valley, a whole group of hosts are clustered together. When they arrive, they're stunned to see the valley is flooded by the sea, and floating on the surface are the bodies of hundreds of dead hosts, including the aptly named Teddy Flood. Strand asks Bernard what happened. "I killed them. All of them," he says.
Thanks for listening. Hope it's been helpful. Previously On is presented by Jamie East and is a Daft Doris production. Listen, if you've enjoyed this, I would love it if you subscribed. We've got loads more shows where this came from, and we'd love you to join us for it.